listening to the U-Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U-Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and joining me today is our content editor, Dr. Christina Zimmerman. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. It's a pleasure once again. And today we're continuing our study, Irrefutable Prophecies That Point Us to Jesus. Okay, and this is the fifth session in this study. The title is The Light and Glory of God, The Light and Glory of God. So, you know, one thing that sets Christianity apart from religions of the world is that Jesus doesn't simply tell us what God is like. He shows us because he is the Son of God. And so what we're going to see in this session is that a man named Simeon actually prophesied what Jesus would be like. And here he is encountering Jesus as an infant. So the truth is that Jesus ultimately reveals the light and glory of God. And that's what Simeon is going to help us to see here. The passage for this lesson is Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35.
All right. So the point of our lesson for today is that Jesus reveals God's glory and love. And so our first point says, revealed through the Holy Spirit. Let's read the first section, Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 27. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Holy Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law. And so here we are, revealed through the Holy Spirit. And so our focus character there, Simeon, righteous and devout. And then it says the Holy Spirit was on him. So what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to be on him? So a lot, sometimes I've seen people like in worship, and so they might have been hollering or shouting or something. So, oh, the Holy Spirit is on them. Well, what the Holy Spirit on him here really means is that he was, because he was righteous and devout, that the Holy Spirit was really with him in his life and guiding his life, his days, his steps. And so if the Holy Spirit is, if you're shouting, but the Holy Spirit is not guiding your daily life, the Holy Spirit is not on you. The Holy Spirit is on us as he guides our thoughts and our steps in our life. And so here, this man, we see him guided by the Holy Spirit. He is guided specifically to the temple just at the time when Jesus's parents brought him there as an infant child. Wow. So guided by the whole, revealed through the Holy Spirit. What are you seeing, Christina?
You know, Mark, Simeon was a man who was devout, and we know that he was a man who knew how to be led by the Holy Spirit because of his commitment and his the way that he lived his life. He was a righteous man. But one thing that we should understand, even as believers, is that the Holy Spirit leads us. In John 16 and 13, we get this from a promise that Jesus made. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, one of the questions that I get sometimes is, how do we know that the Holy Spirit is leading us or guiding us? And I have two things that I share. Usually I tell them, first of all, you have got to walk with God through Bible study and get a knowledge and an understanding of God's word. And that's what helps us to discern whether or not our desires come from the Holy Spirit. You know, if it's not written in the Bible, or if what you feel that God is prodding you to do is contrary to his word, then it is not from the Holy Spirit. And so we need to also combine that with prayer. You know, God leads us through the Spirit, through prayer. So the Holy Spirit leads us, just like he led Simeon.
Right. That's great. That's great. And I usually add a third one, and that's that it ought to be confirmed in the hearts of the faithful. So you ought to have some people who you know who are around you who walk with God and who also know you, and you ought to be able to find some confirmation in the hearts and lives of the faithful. And so, you know, when you can't find any confirmation with the faithful around you, then you need to really pray to make sure that that really is the Holy Spirit's guiding, because sometimes it's hard to distinguish our desires from his desires. All right. So that's great. So he was guided by the Holy Spirit, just as we can be in our lives guided by the Holy Spirit. And he was given a promise, a great promise. He would not die until he had seen this promised Messiah who had been foretold for many, 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 many years. And so this is great. So second, he is revealed through prophetic praise, revealed through prophetic praise. And so let me read this second section, verses 28 through 32. Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel." And so here it is, prophetic praise as we are moving into this second section of the lesson. And so revealed through prophetic praise. And so Simeon is just so excited because now that which he had been waiting for and which he had been promised by God, he now holds in his very arms, and he stops and gives God, who is worthy, praise. So what are you seeing in this section, Christina?
Well, you know, now Simeon had the peace of seeing God's promise fulfilled in his life. I don't know how long Simeon had been waiting to see this fulfillment, but here it was. And you know, as I was preparing to talk with you today, Mark, I read in one commentary this. It said, it was as if Simeon was commanded by God to keep a lonely watch through the night until he saw the sun come up. This now was for him God's sunrise. And because Jesus had come, Simeon could be relieved of his watch. You know, I thought that was so beautiful. It was almost as if he was saying to God, or just saying maybe to himself, that, okay, I have fulfilled what God was wanting to use me for. And so now we see that he has revealed the light and the glory of God.
So remember, in the Old Testament, the popular word for the glory is Shekinah. Yes. And so a lot often people talk about his Shekinah glory. Well, that's like saying glory, glory, right? And in the New Testament, the Greek word is doxa. And so doxa, from which we get our phrase or doxology, giving glory to God. So what is glory, though? We use this word. It's a real churchy word, you know. And so what is it? It is like shining the light on somebody. So
that's what I remember. I couldn't come up with it.
Right. So this lesson is light and glory. But it is like shining the spotlight on that one. But because God is light, the light shines from him. So we don't have a light. So whenever it comes, when we want to use or glorify somebody, we have to find a light and shine it on them. But you don't have to technically shine a light on God, because he is light. And then remember in the previous study, and in him, there is no darkness at all. So he is the light. And so it is. So in this sense, it is God's luminous presence. He shines all by himself. And when he shines, and because he does great things, our job is to return the glory to him, right? So he does great things in our lives. And a lot of times people might think it has something to do with us. No, all the glory belongs to God. Don't shine the light on me, because it was all because of him. Shine the light back on him. And so when we say give glory to God, we're saying don't shine the light on me. Shine the light back on the one who is the source of every good and every perfect gift, and who deserves all honor and all adoration and all praise. And so there it is. He says, verse 32, that he is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for the people Israel. Yeah. So we get, as Israel, they say, we are shining a little bit because he is coming out of our stock. But ultimately, we got to return the light to him, to give the glory back to the one who is the originator and the owner of all glory.
Amen. I won't ever forget that now.
So that's the second one, prophetic praise. Our third section here is revealed through life and death. So let's read the third section here in Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so there it is in this last portion. It is revealed through life and death. And so Simeon understands God's purpose, or the son of God's purpose, and why it is that he came into the world. He came into the world because there's a destiny on him to change the world, the rise and fall of Israel, a sign that will be opposed. People often oppose him. And a sword that will pierce your own soul, reflecting on the fact that he will one day die at the hand of Roman soldiers and be crucified on the cross. But he does this in order to show people's true hearts. Many hearts will be revealed. The thoughts of many hearts are truest selves. So what are you thinking in this last section, Christina?
Yes, you know, I can just imagine, you know, when Joseph and Mary heard what Simeon was saying, that there was both joy and surprise, you know, probably asking, who in the world is this man? And he was telling them things that only God could know and say. But, you know, you're right about the sword that pierces your soul. And of course, he was talking to Mary. We know that, you know, this was going to be difficult for her. And so it's almost as if she's being shared this information just so that she will know that it won't be all sweetness and light. You know, even with this great privilege that she has, she's going to carry a great burden. And so possibly no other human agonized as much over Jesus' rejection, his suffering, and his crucifixion as his mother did. You know, I agonize when I read about it, when I watch it in some of the movies, but I can't imagine what Mary went through.
All right. Yeah, so his death brought about our life. So he is revealed through life and death. And so what a powerful message this is, particularly as we're launching out in a new year. And so it's a new year upon us, and the light of God ought to guide us. And the glory of God ought to shine through us, because the world needs to know him. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment. Christina's going to give us a powerful teaching tip for today. But I want to remind each of you that you can get your copy of the You Bible Study, and you need to, from lifeway.com/you. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is designed for us and by us. It is our cultural forward Bible study resource. It comes in paper and digital availability with a leader's pack, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum, so there's something for everybody. All right, Christina, give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, our teaching tip for today is use your commentary. Now, at one point during this session with Mark, I quoted from a commentary. Commentaries are great resources. We provide one in the back of the U Bible Study resource book. And these commentaries help us to get a deeper understanding and insight into the verses and the passages that are in the sessions. So this week's session is about the glory of God. Use the commentary. Again, it's located in the back of the book, and specifically for this session, it's on pages 120 to 121. And use it to deepen your understanding. Mark has given us a lot of understanding about glory. So, you know, see what the commentary says about that. And you may be able to explain it just like Mark did, and with the help of your commentary, to the learners in your group. If our lives are to glorify God, it's important to understand what it means.
All right. Thank you so much, very much. This has been a great, great study. And I know it will be when you all get together in your classes as well. So join us again, friends, for another U Bible study, because you never know where God will take you.